Now, Jesus, we're going to read just a few verses in Matthew 24. And Matthew 24, after the question has been asked to him about how do we know when you're coming back, because he is coming back. So he tells about that in Matthew 24, long chapter. He tells the details, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, all the things that we are currently going through is what he's telling about. And then we're going to get in chapter 25 this morning. Let's read Matthew 24, 3 through 6. And as he, which is Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They were asking the question to Jesus, and it's for our good. He's going to explain to them, and he explains this in chapter 24 of the signs before his coming. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We're going through that right now, those end times. But I noticed the text just kind of jumps off the page at me. Be ye not troubled. We're going through it. He said we would. And now when's the end going to be? The signs of his coming are all around us. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verses 30. In chapter 24, he tells in detail about his second coming. We're going to chapter 24, and in this chapter, he gives three parables. We won't deal with all three. First of all, he talks about the 10 virgins. Remember the story. They trim their lamps with oil, getting ready for the soon coming of the Lord. Then he talks about talents. We're going to cover that this morning. Then lastly, the parable is about the sheep and the goats. All the people that have believed in him and accepted him as their Savior, he calls them sheep. And all those who refuse, he calls them goats. We won't have time to deal with that either. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25. Now remember, 24 and 25, the whole chapter, is dealing with the second coming of our Lord. And this is for you and this is for me. He's talking about the talents. The title of the message this morning is using your ability and seizing the opportunity that God gives us along the way. He tells us in this chapter that the disciple says, when's it going to happen? Then the Bible says, maybe he'll delay his coming. That seems like what's happened in all these years. We've been preaching and our forefathers were preaching about the coming of the Lord. But he has seemingly delayed his coming. He said, if he delays his coming, why? Because he's looking for workers in the field. It's not his will that any should perish. He died for the sins of the world. Even though most of them haven't come or won't come to the knowledge of salvation because they're not willing to yield their lives and their hearts to him, there are many that will. And he gives you and he gives myself opportunities. So we need to seize those opportunities and understand that the ability he gave us to serve him is from him. We'll see this very clearly. Let's read the text, then we'll go back. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Of course, he's talking about himself. He came from heaven, a far country. He came down and died for our sins. He ascended and rose Then he ascended to the Father. But he left gifts. He left things for you and I to do. And then to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Get this, to every man according to his several ability. We need to look at that very carefully. And straightway took his journey. He left heaven, came down, lived those few years upon earth, went to the cross, shed his blood to pay the sin debt for you and I. And then he took his journey, and he is still giving out those gifts. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, or look now, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Sounds to me like a big reward for using that which God equipped him with. Well done from heaven, from Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It can be. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivereth unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The same thing. The one had 5. He used that which had been given him. The other had 2, which is far less, of course, but he got the same reward. He got the same blessing. It's not how much, but using that which God has given you for his glory. Let's keep reading. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent. Notice he didn't say my talent. God gave it to him, but he said thy talent. He had the opportunity to use it. Lo, there hath that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. And to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's break this down if we can and quickly and look at 4 different things. First of all, let's observe that the Lord is doing the selecting. Don't ever question what he's doing. If it enters your mind, why did he give 1 5, 1 2, 1 1? He done right. That's all he can do. He hath done right. He's doing right. He will do right. That we know. So let's observe the selection method that he uses to allot the talents in the first place. It's given right here. You really couldn't miss it. We need to describe, first of all, what we're talking about as far as the talent. When he talks about the word talent, we think about, we've heard wonderful talent, piano, organ, musical instruments, singing. We call that talent. That's a natural talent that God gives us at birth, and we develop it. That's not what he's talking about. The word talent in the Greek means far different. The word talent in the Greek means that which God has given us, the foreknowledge that he had. It is the Greek meaning of a scale, a means of weighing something. And the talent would be a weight, or it could be gold, silver, or it could be something else. But it's a spiritual thing. Has nothing. God gives us the talents to use for his glory, but this is something special. We'll see a long way through. The talent he gives is something, a spiritual talent. It's a weight. And where there is a balance, it means balance. And where there is a balance, it means that we use that which we have to keep it balanced. And if we don't, it's tilted. And we can't use more than he gave us because it's not possible. Within ourselves, we can do nothing. We can sing, we can preach, we can do all these things. That's not what he's talking about. This is something special that God gives his children, and the reason he gives them is to bring him glory. You see, there's a lot of people who've got talent. We say baseball players, football players, all those people have talent. They do, and they use it, but he's not talking about that. And then singing, all that. This is a special gift. According to your ability, we have to look at two other words. According to their several ability. The word several in the Greek means that is from above. It's not of yourself. The several ability, God looks ahead and he knows what kind of opportunities he's going to have us. And he gives us these opportunities. The word ability. In the Greek, that he uses ability, it means it's a self thing. God puts within you, within me, within self. You can't add to it. You can't school it. You can't, you can pray for it if you want to, but this is something God gives. Remember, the selection process is up to him. And he tells us he uses and gives according the measure or the ones he gives. And what he gives is allocated upon the soul of man, and he foreknows what he's going to give you. Now, that several ability, he adds something else to it, opportunities. Think back in your life as a child of God. How often does he give your heart to testify or to talk to some wayward person, maybe a family member, maybe somebody you meet on the street? That is an opportunity to witness for him. Now, if he gives you opportunity, he's already given you the ability to perform it. And remember, the word talent means weight in the balance. He's keeping the records. And he gave it to him, salvation, all these years now, whether you've been saved 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years, all the ability he has given you, he knew, and he gave it to your soul, to your intellect. Now, the word talent in the Webster Dictionary would go something like a natural ability. God also gives that at birth. Some have the ability. I remember when I was younger, I tried playing the guitar. I didn't have a talent for it, and I gave up because I wasn't getting nowhere fast. But then I said, well, I'll play the piano. I guess it's because I wouldn't practice, but I didn't have the musical ability. I didn't have the ability, but that's not what he's talking about. Wonderful musicians, this is far and above that. Remember, we won't even try to use that word talent anymore because it's misleading sometimes to us that say, oh, God gave it, and he did, but this is different. Remember, he's talking about his second coming. only a few more days until he goes to Calvary. And everything he is describing here has a reference to his second coming. Let's look carefully now at this selection process. The tally used, of course, is God's weighing, God's judgment. And he has foreknowledge of the ability that he has given us. And he has also known ahead of time of our willingness. Nothing takes him by surprise. God knows as much about the future as he does about the past. He knows every opportunity he's going to give you, and he knows the ability he has given you, the self-desire. You have a high intellect, that's good. That'll help you along the way. And the word talent means, you know, intellect, a smartness, because the smart people that are willing to apply. But he's talking about spiritual things now, things that he's going to give reward for. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 again says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, to another man according to the several ability. Because God knows everyone. Several means all those that God has accumulated and knows about. But that's not the question. The real question is, what are you and I going to do with those opportunities? We'll see the rewards, and we'll see the things that he chastises people for not using them. The one that had 5, absolutely amazed. He could not wait for the Lord to return. It seems to me like he says, as soon as the Lord returned to make him give a report, to put him in the balance, to see how he had used that which God has given him, he was anxious to do it. Think ahead. One of these days, you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of the several ability to use and seize the opportunities that he has given us to serve him. Different things for different people. Some is witnessing, some may be preaching, some may be teaching, but God's the one that does the choosing and the anointing. And he will give you every, once he do that and you decide, I'm willing to go. The most important thing in your life after salvation, I believe, is to come to grips with the fact that said, Lord, send me. Remember what Isaiah said? In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It's not that Isaiah the prophet had not seen the Lord before, but something caused him to get a vision that day that he never got over. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, God let him see himself. Great man, Isaiah, but it wasn't a pretty picture for him, because he saw a reflection of himself. He said, I'm a sinful man. Somehow along the journey when we get saved, God brings us to the fact, I don't know if it's a day, I remember Dr. J. Harold Smith bowed on his knees on his sister's front porch in Greenville, South Carolina, had been an atheist in his day sometimes, had his doctor's degree and ready to practice medicine. He bowed because he got convicted. Why did he get convicted? His sister looked him in the face and said, Harold, you've tried everything the devil's got to offer. When will you give your life to Jesus Christ? He said, I heard that, made me angry. I turned to tell her to mind her own business, but I saw tears. I saw something, a burden of her heart toward me. That convicted me. I fell on my knees and got saved. And before I got up, God called me to preach, and I told him I'd be a Baptist preacher. Didn't take him very long to get started. Sometimes we may get saved and wait a year or two. Somewhere along the journey, you need to get serious with God and realize that God has equipped you. Not only has he equipped you, some more than others. 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. The selection process is up to him. What's his selection process? According to what he knows is in your heart. And he will give you. He will ask no more of you than that which he has equipped you to do. You can try, but without him, nothing's going to happen. He also knows how many times we'll be slackers. So God, that's part of his selection process. Second of all, I want to look at this security. There is security because when God gives you something, if you use it, it's going to increase. Is that not what happened? He gave five, and he used it to the fullest, and it increased, and it doubled. The one with two, he couldn't make 10 out of it, but he could double it. And when the Lord came back, he was so excited. Behold, look now, Lord, I have used everything you gave me to do, and you have helped me increase, and now I've got four. And that was such a wonderful thing. He sees the opportunities, and there's security that knows that when you and I accept the fact that God's the one that equips us, God's the one that calls us, and all these opportunities, he opens doors. God says, if I open the door, nobody can shut it. Others can't prevent or stop you from taking advantage of the opportunities. We make excuses. Lord, I would serve you, but that open door, I'm afraid somebody will shut it. Impossible. God equips. God gives you your ability. He opens the doors of opportunity. And you say, well, I didn't see it. Well, if he put in your heart to do it, you don't have to see it till you get there. It'll be there. That's faith. He gave us that also, did he not? Look at verse 19. The security that he gives us when we seize the opportunity. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Remember, the word talent is a balance, scale, weighing that which he has given us to do. And he comes back now. It wasn't the next day. It wasn't the next year, seemingly. It's a long time. You may be 50 or even older, but we'll have to reckon from the time we got saved. There will be a day of reckoning. I wonder when that day happens for me, I'll be as excited as the one with five talents. I'll say, behold, or look, Lord. Will I be more like the one with one that hasn't taken advantage of the opportunities? Verse 19 says, a long time. See, it's the Lord that determines how long he gives us. No accidents with God, of course. We didn't have any choice whatsoever when we were born, did we? Well, we had a little choice when we got born again. It was when the Lord, Holy Spirit convicted you of your sins. That's the first time. But then if you delayed it, some people do. Some people wait another day, another week, and some people have good intentions and never come back to a place of repentance. But he said a long time. Look at verse, the next verse after that. And so he had received five talents, came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, they have delivered to me five talents. Behold, I have gained them. He took his journey after he had given the talent or the weight, the opportunities, the ability to do that which God was going to offer him to do. He waited a long time. Now he has gone to heaven after he ascended. When's he coming back? That's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the disciples, you and I, Matthew 24 and 25, about he's going to come back. But one thing we do know, he will return. He went back to heaven. He came one time, born of woman, died, resurrected, ascended. He's coming back. And there will be a day of reckoning. And we have a security that the things God has given us and the opportunities he will provide for you, for me, to use that which he has given us the ability to use for his glory, there will be those opportunities. That's already predetermined. And the thing lacking yet is the reckoning process, because we're going to be putting a weight and tried to see how we have used. Look thirdly at the success. You see, God gives success. And we're talking to graduates primarily, but every one of us. Success is measured in different ways today. A lot of people look ahead at their life. And success would mean for some people to acquire land, houses, maybe even your own company, maybe to do something that nobody in your family has ever done. We would call that being successful because we try to make our own minds up what we want to do. And that's well and good if it coincides, if it agrees with what he wants you to do. He does give us some freedom of choice. But along that journey of making yourself successful and doing the jobs and doing the training that you really want to achieve in this life, you may want to find a mate, you may want to find someone to marry and have children. That's all your dreams. That's wonderful. But during the process, while he's in heaven and he's going to return after a long time, then there'll be a day of reckoning. And while you're doing these things, earning a living, supporting your family, buying cars, buying food, doing all these things, while you're doing all that, he'll give you ability to go through those doors of opportunity. That's what it's all about. He's talking about the second coming. He's talking about a day of reckoning. And he doesn't want us to go empty. Let's say you should, young people, acquire a business and be a millionaire. Some people would call that successful. That's not what the Lord would call successful. Success to him means when I come back and I have given you, according to your several ability, according to your soul's desire, that opportunity I gave you, have you seized? And you could go through life and not have $5 in the bank and not have even the bank account. But if you were successful doing that which he called you to do, he calls that success. He never one time tells about how big a millionaires these people were. All we know is what God gave them, they doubled it. God's give you something, and the opportunity is to increase it. And God will give you every opportunity along the way to do that. It may be a year, it might be five, but sometime before he calls you home, according to your several ability, according to which is predetermined and pre-weighed, he'll call you up for a day of reckoning. I just hope and pray that he'll be able to say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I've been faithful over a few things. Notice, few, you don't have to do a million things for him to call you successful. You just use the two was just as happy as the one with five. But let's deal lastly with not only the selection process and the security when we seize the opportunity and the success. Let's read that in verse 20. He's looking for the Lord's return now, and that's what you and I ought to be doing. We don't know when he's coming back, but he was definitely looking for it in verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Thou delivered to me 5. Behold, I have gained beside 5 also. Verse 21. Then he said, well done. The day of reckoning was quite favorable for these two and for the many of you and for the millions of people in this world that God has allocated according to his selection process, of course, and according to the way he has equipped us and called us into his service to be faithful and to be true to what he wants us to be. And along the way, doors of opportunity to witness. Maybe this is start a business. In that business, you could glorify God. Whatever it is, he knows. He has preordained. Well, look lastly at the suffering servant that lost it all. Well, I pray that doesn't happen to anyone because, see, the Lord did give that servant 1 talent. We pretty well know why he didn't give him 5. If he'd give him 50, he wasn't going to use them. God predetermines. He already knows. He already knew the several ability or the inability for him to use anything that God gave him. And we don't know any more about it than we do. We only know that the motive in his mind was not to bring glory to God. Within a saved person's heart, the main thing ought to be, my life should be spent bringing glory to the Lord. To go about the activities in school, in work, in family life, in businesses, whatever it is you do, the prime thing ought to be bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And that we know this last servant did not do. He didn't use any of it. Let's see what the Lord mentioned about this servant. In verse 24, and he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, he didn't say, behold, he didn't say, look here, Lord. No, he's ashamed because he hadn't used anything. He knows it. I knew thee that thou art hard man, reaping where thou hast sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. That's not true whatsoever. Excuses that we try to make to him about not using that which is allocated to us, he's going to blow it right away. Look what he says in verse 25. The man says, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. There thou hast, that is thine. And his Lord answered and said to him, now this is him being reckoned with. He's in the balance. All of us are. What he gives us means a weight, opportunity to serve him, seize the things according to the ability he has given us. Thou wicked and slothful servant, wasteful, lazy. Thou knewest, it's not that he didn't know. He knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That ability that I gave you, servant number three, with one talent, I knew you wasn't going to use anything, but I gave you the chance. I did give you some ability, and he's already determined why he gives some more than others. We know that. But he knew he wouldn't do anything, but he had the opportunity. We all have an opportunity to use what God, if he had used to the extent of everything God gave him, like the other, he would have been just as much rewarded as the one that had five. It's not how much, it's how we determine that we're going to use that which is given us. That slothful servant. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. The one that had five has used every ability and everything God gave him, every opportunity, and he doubled it. And now the Lord adds to it. He's going to use it. And he gives him some other opportunity, some other ability. We don't know what those abilities was because this represents every one of us. Those three don't just represent three individuals. They represent classes of people. They represent every one of us. It's here. We're either one of those three groups. We may have been given a lot's required. We may have been given a medium amount, that's all that's required. We may have been given just a little because he knew some of us wouldn't use it anyway. But now the day of reckoning has come and he's going to be suffering loss. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Using your ability and seizing the opportunities that God gives us to bring him honor and glory. Would you please come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. Thank you for listening, graduates. Not just for you. This was for you, for me. Question you have to ask yourself. There will be a day of reckoning. You have been allocated a certain ability that God selects and predetermines. And he will open doors of opportunity. You may not have done good so far. You may have squandered, but he hadn't come back yet, and you still belong to him. In the days of day of repentance, you could say, Lord, it's not day of reckoning. He's not here to hold us in the balance. He knows, he judges, but when he comes back, see, you won't have any more opportunities. Now is accepted time. Your head's bowed, altar's open. Come do business with the Lord and determine within your heart, I know that you have chosen me for this, this, this. And you may not know that yet, but just be willing in your heart, whatever I know that you want me to do, whatever you have given me to do, although I may not know it yet, I'm willing to do it. That's number one. If you're not willing to do it, it's not going to give you any opportunities. He'll take away from your ability and give it to someone else that will. Heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. How you've shown us in your word why some have more abilities and more opportunities than others. Not because we're more special. It's something that you do soul searching. It's something that you know ahead of time. And you've done right in it. And the only thing we have to discern and know is, what do you want me to do? It may be pretty insignificant as far as the world is concerned. But if we use that maybe little thing that you told us to do, great will be our reward, just as a greater reward as those have been given more abilities and more opportunities. Let's understand we have to be responsible for ourselves and not another. We sure do love you. We bless your name. Thanksgiving. Thank you for everyone that came, for the students that have worked hard and been diligent. And Lord, their life is before them. You know how long it'll be before you come. And for the parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, for all of us, Lord, we're so thankful that the selection process of who does what is up to you. All mortal men would make a mess of it, but you never have, never will. All we have to decide, we'll use what you've given us for your glory, honor and praise. And great will be our reward, because you are coming. When you come, we're going. We'll stand before you. I hope and pray we'll be excited as those there. Behold, look now, Lord. We can be. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we humbly pray. Amen.